Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Ulama Profile on a Thursday evening with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. After somewhat a break of just about a month, we are back with the Ulama Profile. I must say I always look forward to the Ulama Profile because it speaks of our akabir. But I'm always saddened that we've lost one more of our elders. I suppose to think of lands without Hazrat Maulana Yahya Bam, the service he's done, just his presence, the very calm and cooling impact that he would have would be something that's very difficult. And for us to understand that when you lose someone like Maulana, it's such a great loss for the Ummah, because these are the pious people whose worship, ibadah, closeness to Allah, their dua is a protection from fitna and a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. So these are things that always impact on us. We take solace that everyone has to go and they have gone to their final abode. We are saddened by their loss and we are inspired by their life. We have with us this evening many, many guests. Inshallah, this program is going to be run over 2 weeks so that whichever guest we have prepared, if we don't get through to you today, inshallah on the next week we will take your call. Also the messages and that we will also take next week so that we are able to get through a lot of the guests and a lot of the content that Maulana Muhammad Zakaria has been so kind and provided for us. Hazrat Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, very well. Maulana, I'm saying on behalf of the entire Ummah, taziyat on the passing away of what a great father, Hazrat Maulana Yahya Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi.
No doubt, Maulana. Jazakallah khair.
Maulana, before we get into who Hazrat was and his studies and his being in the company of great people, let's start from the very beginning. When was Maulana born and where did Maulana grow up? And a little bit of family history regarding Maulana Yahya.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maulana, Abba Rahmatullah Ali was born in 1955. He was born in a town called Khruat Mariko in Northwest.
Okay.
He was born on the 21st of February, but due to the delay in registering his birth, he was only registered on the 21st of August, 1955.
Okay.
So that would make about 67 at the on the 5th of January when he passed away. Abba was from a family of 8 siblings. He had, his brothers and sisters numbered 8. He had noble ancestry in that his nana, his mother's father, was Maulana Ahmad Hassan Bam. Maulana Ahmad Hassan Bam had initiated and established a madrasa in Dadel. And Maulana had come to South Africa soon after establishing the madrasa. He came to, he came through Mozambique, then known as Lorenzo Marx, and then he came into South Africa and during the plague of 1918, he passed away here in South Africa and is buried in the Bramfontein Kabristan. Abba's father and mother passed away when Abba was very young. Abba was approximately 11 or 12 years of age when he was, he lost both his parents. And due to the group, the Areas Act in 1969, Abba moved from Khruat Mariko and he came to Lens with his elder brother, Uncle Ibrahim. He stayed with them and he completed his schooling here in, he completed his schooling in Priest Street in Joburg. That was, he done until standard 7. After that, he left school to complete, to do his HIVs. And, that was during the year 1969-1970. And then in 1973, Abba left for India. When Abba went to India, he initially went to Dabir, and he was obviously going to do his, complete his and do his Alim course there.
Due
to Abba falling sick with yellow jaundice, he got extremely sick, so the mashwara was that he should return from India and come home. But nonetheless, you know, some family friends and some of his, probably his asatida convinced him to go, you know, to the different madaris in India. And before he comes home, he can just go and meet some of the shuyukh and then come home. So in this manner, he went and, you know, he went to Ardoi, where Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrahul Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayh was stationed. And Abba fell, you know, so in love with Hazrat Maulana Abrahul Haq Sahib that he was convinced then to do his alim course there. So spending a few years there in Ardoi, he done his initial years or his ibtidai years in Ardoi. After his years in Ardoi, he went to another great, you know, sheikh of the time, Maulana Qari Siddiq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Hatora. He spent a few years there, and due to the madrasa not having at that time the Mishkat in Dora years, under the guidance from his teachers, he went from there to Saharanpur, where he completed his Alim course in 1983. Immediately after that, when Abba completed, then he came back to South Africa. And, you know, that is the basic rundown of his years from the time he was young to the time he completed his Alim course.
I suppose the aspect of Abba's stay in Ardoi, he was probably in the first category of students studying under Maulana Siddiq, sir?
From the South African students, Maulana Musa Pandor, Maulana Ibrahim Pandor, they were in Hatora before Abba, but one of the first few students that were with Maulana Siddiq Sahib, definitely from South Africa.
Sikka. Maulana, we're not going to keep you for the full hour. You were so kind to have arranged so many guests for us. But in terms of your relationship, you know, I understand where you come from, because to many people he was the Hazrat and the Khalifa, but to you he was a father. What was your relationship and how was he like with you?
Most definitely, you know, Maulana, it's so, you know, heartbreaking to be speaking, you know, of things like this. Because we've seen Abba in a manner that, you know, many people hadn't seen him. And like you so rightfully mentioned, that to others he was a sheikh, but with that, Abba was, you know, a simple person that even the people that came to him would attest to the fact that he wasn't just you come and you do your adhkar and you carry on. Rather, he was one. And this year, he probably would have learned by the different shuyukh, the great shuyukh that he sat under, where Mullah Abdul Haq Sahib, you know, he was known as Muhyi Sunnah, the reviver of the Sunnah. This year ran very strongly with Abba. So in every manner, you know, with everything, what was the Sunnah practice first? In what way are we supposed to do things? What that, as you mentioned, that he was a fatherly figure. And this year we also seen he would always, despite, you know, the various things, since the time Abba came back from India, which was in 1983 or 1984, you know, he's always been involved in some type of khidma or the other. But this year, you know, it also, a lot of his khidmat was allowed or prospered due to, obviously, you know, unsung heroes that were around him, most notably my mother, because to do the type of work that you're doing where you're all the time occupied and engaged, it takes a lot from a person that is with you to also be just as much as the you know, you are giving, that person that's by your side also has to give that much sacrifice for your works to come to fruition. And this year we've seen also with my mother, where you know, long nights, late nights, you know, about going to meetings at all odd hours of the night, you know, all the time busy and occupied. The slack was most definitely beautifully and most, you know, wonderfully picked up by my mother. Notwithstanding this year, my father also, in his way, where he could, you know, a point he made that during holidays, this was the time that he would spend with us. And every holiday was the time that we went out. There wasn't, you know, very few holidays I can recall spending at home, because Abba probably understood the importance also of taking, you know, spending quality time with your kids. So he would take us out, and in this year, you know, they would, he would always find the time. He would take his books with him, his kitabs with him, and then he would sit us down. And that was how the holiday would go, either in the morning or the evening. He would sit us all down and give us lessons and give us incidents and anecdotes and whatever type of learning or teaching that he could do to us and what he found apt to teach us at the time he would give us. I remember as a small kid also, you know, coming to the masjid, we initially Abba established a small little jamaakhana in the house, and then the masjid structure was built. After we moved into the masjid, then I was probably about 6 or 7 years old at the time. Then Abba would go with us to the masjid, then on the way back, he would take the longer road, and then he would race with myself and my brother. And, you know, he would that is, you know, the time.
Subhanallah.
So that is also, you know, things that we very fondly remember with regards to Abba, that the time he also spent with us was most definitely cherished and something that would stay with us, inshallah.
Maulana, something that you remember in particular that just stands out for you?
You know, it's incidents like this here, you know, like the generosity that Abba had, the akhlaq that he would speak with to people with. These are all, you know, one incident or one thing that always, you know, when people would come to the house, sometimes we would feel actually shy to let them go to Abba, because we knew if they reach Abba, there's nothing that's going to stop him from giving any, everything that's in his pocket is going to go out of his pocket.
Sure.
You know, we would feel also sometimes a bit difficult to let people come, because Abba was also very, very soft-hearted. If someone had to come and put the need before him, very seldom would it be that the need wasn't fulfilled. And this is what also, you know, one of the things we remember. And in particular, one thing that, you know, I find that was an outstanding trait was his adherence to the sunnah and his want that each and every person practice on the sunnah. So, you know, in different ways he used to tell the students, in, you know, and with a lot of emphasis he would explain to them how to go into the masjid, how to come out of the masjid, how to put on your shoes, and all the different sunnah, how to go to the toilet. And this was his way. Many of the you know, musallis will remember that he would come with the water and teach them how to make wudu from the water. And in fact, in the masjid when it was built, the taps that faced the Qibla direction didn't have a place for you know, the water to fall down. Rather, there was a ledge built there, and the water was
okay.
And people, you know, will recall that this Abba wanted them to use the water to make wudu. So this was, you know, some of the pointers that I could recall.
Maulana, I'm so confident that Allah Ta'ala make you the means of, you know, the following on the legacy of such a great father. I remember in the last visit we came, he was sick. But it was so instinctive that the visitor came and he said, Muhammad Zakaria, and you already knew the tea had to be done. Really, it just understood that upbringing and that nurturing and that mentoring was such that it was almost a natural process that the visitors are here, this is what happens and this is how it is. And really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. As you said, the unsung hero, your mother, Allah give her the strength, Allah accept her khidmat and her qurbani. Many a times we don't even see the wives of these ulama, how much of qurbani they make and they carry the cane. Really, Allah ta'ala reward her as well.
I mean, Jazakallah khair.
I mean, Marana, we'll still speak to you, inshallah, next week, but we have a few guests, and then we'll take it from there, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah. Jazakallah
khair. Jazakumullah khair. We have Brother Ibrahim Saluji. Brother Ibrahim Saluji is one of the founding members of the LMS board, and he's on the line with us. Brother Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, very well. And how is Uncle doing this evening?
Alhamdulillah, just a bit disturbed and, you know, concerned that, you know, we've lost someone so great as Hazrat Maulana, because, you know, I've known him for well over 35 years.
Allahu Akbar.
And, you know,
Uncle Ibrahim, walk us down memory lane with Maulana. Tell us of Maulana.
Maulana, you know, Maulana had such a simple attitude towards everything, and he was, you know, most humble. I mean, when you sit down with him, I mean, there's so much that one would learn from him. Being a mentor, to me, he was not only a mentor, he was a friend, he was a colleague, we worked together. And I remember the old days, you know, when the apartheid era was around, At that time, we had the issue of, you know, these state schools coming out at 12 o'clock, and then the department then decided that they now needed to extend the time to 2 o'clock or 2:30. And we felt that, you know, that was a serious issue regarding the Juma issue, because if schools come out at 2 o'clock, the department wanted children to, you know, go for Salah and come back.
Yes.
Class. And a lot of the schools were distant away, and there were areas where there were no masjids or anything. So how does one go and perform Salah and come back? So it's very cumbersome that one could have to go through that. And, you know, it was an issue that we fought vociferously. And I remember us going from town to town, masjid to masjid. We spoke to the community and we said, you know, we cannot allow this to happen where, you know, our Jummah is going to be sacrificed for our children, that they can't go for Jummah. Even missing one Jummah would be too much. So we went from town to town and masjid to masjid, and we spoke on various platforms. And alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think we succeeded in getting the time back to 12 o'clock on a Friday, on a Jummah, which is what we still have today. So alhamdulillah, that was during the time of apartheid. And then it was at that time that we had many, many discussions. It was myself, I remember Maulana Saab, and I remember Abdul Samad Ismail from Coogan, and Marhum Muhammad Khan, was also known as MK, that we had discussions regarding how do we try and improve, you know, Islamic education apart from the madrasas, because the madrasas were there, but parents would take their children out, you know, out from madrasa once they reach high school, and they would lose the most, you know, prime time of their lives, you know, not learning deen. You know, we should look at that. And then Maulana then made contact with Maulana Abraw Sah in Hardoi to say, you know, Maulana, we have this issue. We want some guidance and want some, you know, some way forward. And Maulana Abraw Sah's answer was, you know, start a Muslim school. And that was when...
Subhanallah.
That was when the inspiration came that we should start. What happened is that Maulana was at that time at Quwwatul Islam. He was living at the flats upstairs, so we would have meetings at his house. And I remember the time, you know, when we sit down at Dastar Khan, and how Maulana's wife would send all those, you know, wonderful dishes, and that we'd spend so much time discussing about how to, you know, start the school, what to do, you know. And at that time, there was only one Muslim school that had started, and that was in KZN. So we decided, Bismillah, you know, let us start the school. So with many sleepless nights and, you know, days, we planned, and we then formed the Lanija Muslim School in 1988. It was initially opened at in Extension 10, in Extension 10 where the masjid is in Walter Street. That's where we started the Lanija Muslim School. And since then we had grown. And Maulana then, you know, was at the school full time. And I must tell you, I think every learner that must have gone through that school knew, you know, and respected Maulana, you know, in his attitude, in his approach to things, how humble he was, how soft and gentle he was, how he would explain, never getting angry. And I think a lot of them have learned so much over the years. And Allah can only grant Maulana Sahib Jannatul Firdaus for all the effort that he's made.
Amen, amen.
It was a great, and for me, it was sad, because the day when Maulana Sahib passed away, I wasn't here. So, you know, I was on holiday, and when I heard that, I felt very sad, because you know, I can't be, you know, at the Kabristan, you know, with and that really made me tear. But I have full yakin that on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, we will meet and we'll be once again with Maulana.
Inshallah. Tell me the initial days and the sacrifices that was made by the board, by Maulana yourself, to see this vision of the school grow and to finally, I mean, where it is now, was nowhere from where you all began in the 80s, I'm sure.
No,
what
wasn't.
Was the sacrifices, the effort that was made by Maulana yourself, the other board members, to see this vision slowly to fruition over the period of almost 40 years?
Maulana, look, it was a journey which we thoroughly enjoyed. It was very challenging, lots of difficult days, lots of, you know, sleep.
Gee, sorry for that. The phone got a bit cut, and we were listening to the voice of Hazrat Maulana Yahya Bamsab, rahmatullahi alayh. So we were speaking to one of the founder members, Brother Ibrahim Saluji, who was with us. Brother Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum, and sorry about that.
Wa alaikum salam, Maulana. No, these things do happen with technology. there's always gremlins in the system, so you finally get cut off.
So we were speaking about the initial days, etc. And you were telling us of how y'all were staff and how y'all were carrying on, alhamdulillah, with the service, etc. Maybe we just want to finish the point and then we can take some other callers.
Yeah, all right. And then, you know, after the Religious Muslim School started off in Extension 10, Brother Abdus Samad Ismail from Pugand and the family then gave us the ground where the current Religious Muslim School stands today. The present structure. So, you know, it has been a long journey, and alhamdulillah, I think it's just grown from strength to strength. But Maulana's footsteps are there, Maulana's memories are there, and I think forever, as long as the school is in existence, people will remember Maulana Sahib and all those students that have passed through there. I think we'll never ever forget Maulana's contribution and the contribution to this community in Indonesia and generally, overall. I think internationally, Maulana has been well known. Most humble human being, most humble person, and we really, really have lost a giant of an individual in this ummah. May Allah Ta'ala grant him genital firdaus and grant his family sabrun jameel. We make lots and lots of dua for Maulana Sahib and for Maulana's family that inshallah Allah make it easy for everyone. Jazakallah.
Uncle Ibrahim, before I let you go, just one memory off the cuff of Maulana, something that just, when you looked at it, you just said, wow. Just something off the cuff, Uncle Ibrahim.
Well, there are so many of them. But I think the one that really would stand out is that, you know, if someone would possibly, you know, say something which would be really out of turn, and Maulana would never, you know, show that, you know, he's displeased or dissatisfied. But in a very diplomatic way, would try and bring him back on track and try and show him, you know, the way. And you find that the person who's probably making the statement would understand where Maulana is coming from, would show him the greatest of respect. But obviously, the most momentous moments with Maulana were when, you know, when he was in the best of mood, when he would be full of fun, and not only, you know, the respectable Maulana that you would know, but when you're all alone in the time that you have, that, you know, there are fun times as well with Maulana. He was not rigid in any way at all, full of life and full of energy, and say, okay, so today we're going to have a sports day at our school, and this is how we're going to do it, and he'll partake of it, and he'll be part of the process. You know, not shying away from it and be, you know, full of energy. I mean, I remember him in that way. It was said that, you know, when Maulana became ill, and in spite of that illness, he was still, I remember times at the LMS when we had meetings at night, and Maulana in his illness would still be there and would participate. And I think those are the moments I remember most, that in spite of his illness, Maulana was still committed to the deen of Allah. And I think that in itself is a great contribution and a great sacrifice that Maulana has made.
Jazakallah so much, Brother Ibrahim.
Jazakallah khair, Maulana. Jazakallah
khair. Wonderful. So respected listeners, the legacy of Maulana Yahya is such an amazing one, and there's so much to speak that I don't think we have the time to be able to go through everything in 1 week or even in a short period of time. So we're going to defer this also to next week, and we're going to carry on also next week with regards to the Maulana Yahya rahmatullahi alayhi's legacy, and then obviously the interaction from the students and the community members as well. We're going to carry on, and we want you to be part of the program next week, inshallah. We have Maulana Ahmed Samir on the line with us. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, your ta'alluq and relationship with Maulana Yahya goes how long?
I know Maulana Yahya from the time I matriculated, so it's about 20-odd years.
Maulana, tell us, how did Maulana Yahya inspire you, and what would be for you one aspect that you would really say that this is the standout or the impact Maulana had on your life?
So when I think of Maulana, one hadith comes to mind, wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Jibreel alayhi salam and says to Jibreel alayhi salam that, oh Jibreel, I love this person, so you should also love this person.
Then
Jibreel alayhi salam goes to the inhabitants of the seventh heaven and says that Allah loves this person, I love this person, so you should also love this person. and then 7th, 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, 2nd, 1st. And then the inhabitants on the first heaven say, call out to the earth and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person. Jibreel alayhi salam loves this person. The inhabitants of the 7th, 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, 2nd, and us on the 1st, we love this person. So you on the earth also should love this person. I think that is one salient quality of Mana Yahya Sab. Is why whoever came into contact with Manana automatically fell in love with Manana. And that is one salient quality of Manana. Even Manana at the school, at LMS, whether it was the principal, whether it was the teachers, whether it was the students, whether it was the parents, everyone had a love for Manana. And no matter how big the problem seemed, as soon as you sat in front of Manana, within a few words and the way Manana spoke, the problem would be solved. So even in the masjid, in the madrasa, whether it was Manana giving the hunger programs, whatever it may be, I recall one incident when elderly men would come in Ramadan for Manana's programs, late night programs. The program would start around about 10, half past 10 at night and would carry on till 1, 2 in the morning. And this man would walk from a far place in there, different extension. So I asked this man, I said that, why do you come all the way here? Why don't you rather go to a masjid closer by? It's easier for you. So he says that, I remember Manana when he was the imam of, when he was the imam of Shan al-Islam Masjid. And I had a problem and I needed to speak. And no matter which other Manana I went to, they couldn't give me time. And I met Manana on a Jummah. And as soon as I walked up to Manana after Jummah Salah, as he was already leaving the masjid, I said, Manana, I need time. Do you have time for me? He said with a smile on his face, Manana grabbed his hand, walked back into the masjid, took off his shoes, and he said, Manana sat with him for 2 hours.
Oh, and Manana listened to
him. And he said that from that day he knew that this is the man, that if ever I want to listen to, learn deen from, this is the person I should go to. And that is the most salient quality of Manana. You say what impacted me most about Manana was that very same quality. That even to myself, when Manana saw me for the very first time, he didn't look at the outer of appearance, but he looked beyond that. And Manana, he looked at me and he saw a person. And alhamdulillah, it was through my parents' du'as, Allah Ta'ala's mercy, but Manana's sohbat, Manana's company, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a little bit of hidayat and we changed our side and changed ourselves and we tried to be the best we can be. But it was Manana's company that did that, through love, compassion. And that was Manana. Even when it came to advice, even when it came to deen, Manana would rather, you'd be hard on himself, but it'd be easy on everybody else. Manana is such a person that it make you love deen. So when you practice upon it, you are not doing it out of fear, but you are doing it out of love. So you'd want to do it your whole life. And that is every student that came to the madrasa, every person came into contact with Manana. He made you fall in love with Allah Ta'ala. He made you fall in love with deen. And that was his salient qualities, is that Allah loved him, and in turn he made you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Manana, when you would sit in Manana's majlis, his programs, what would be the outcome, or what would be the content that Manana would share, or that would just want people to be in his company?
Manana would emphasize a lot on akhlaq. And Manana would emphasize a lot on Allah Ta'ala's mercy. So if you look at Manana's majalis, even in the month of Ramadan, majority of the people that would come would actually be the youth. And the reason the youth would come is because they're looking for that. They're looking for someone to tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you no matter what. And Allah loves you no matter what. So everyone that came there, they sat there because they knew that by sitting with Manana, that you're going to hear that Allah loves you and Allah is going to forgive you. And that as soon as you make tawbah, you are going to become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even till now, if you go and sit in the programs that Manana had started, Allah reward Manana for all of this, you find a lot of youngsters, a lot of youth, because that's what they're looking for. They're looking to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Manana gave them that ability to do that. To such an extent in Ramadan, that even in the late night programs, you have small boys, maybe 9, 10 years old. And Manana would have this one part of his program where you could ask any question. And Manana would answer it to the best of his ability. And the small boys would say, Manana, can I sing a nazam? Imana would allow these small, small boys to sing nazams. And no matter how they sing it, but it was that very same small boys who then joined the madrasa, became Hafiz of Quran, and are becoming Hafiz Quran. And they would come for every program, and they would come from 10:30, they would stay till 1-2 in the morning. And even if they were tired, like I know my son personally, when he would get tired, Mana would say, go and sleep, and they'd sleep in Mana's tent, all these small boys. Mana had a lot of love for children, a lot of love for people. And that's what everyone will miss the most, is someone to connect them to Allah Ta'ala, someone to tell them that Allah loves you no matter what.
Allahu Akbar. Marana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you ni'mal badal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill this vacuum. You know, we're in a time where they say qahtur rijal, to find those great people are so difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that these replacements could be given back to the ummah, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah.
Jazakumullahu khairan, Marana. Respected listeners, we are speaking about Hazrat Marana Yahya Bamsab, rahmatullahi alayhi. And ya Allah, I mean, imagine, you know, after Jummah, when you finish give a bayan, you want to go home, it's hungry, the family is waiting. You know, it's always somebody that say, you know what, come quickly because you've probably got to go to the maktab. There are so many things to do after Jummah. Your mind is mentally, you know, when you come out of Jummah, you're somewhat now out of that mindset, and then to go back and to sit 2 hours to listen to an individual that needs a hearing ear is truly something which is very remarkable, and you don't always find that, and it's something that always sustain up. We have on the line with us now Maulana Tahir Sallu. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Morana, jazakallah for taking out your time. You've been with Morana Yahya Bam for Hajj, etc. What are some of your experiences, Morana?
Well, my first interaction with Morana Yahya Bam was through Hajj. And alhamdulillah, we spent quite a few very valuable moments with him on Hajj. I think one of the most remarkable aspects that I found in the life of Morana Yahya Bam was his humility. Moana's humility was on another level, and he always felt that as a human being, our objective is to help the next person come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because he spent a lot of time with Moana Abrar al-Haq, rahimahullah, Moana always quoted his al-Kabir, he always quoted his Fatiha, and he had such wisdom in guiding people. It was amazing. So in so many aspects, I've seen Maulana's humility, and his methodology of guiding people was superb. The wisdom that he used, especially with young people. Now, when you go for Hajj, everybody's feeling, everybody has a different experience. Maulana's way of making people feel important and such an extent that anybody could go to Maulana, no matter what the age was. So I think there is something that people will always remember Maulana for in Hajj. And Maulana was such that he was so jolly. Anybody of any age could go and talk to him, ask him questions. That's the type of person that Maulana was. So for me personally, yes, it was a great loss, because despite being such a senior, Maulana had an art of talking to people. Despite their age, despite their standing in society, he was always jolly. He was always very, very welcoming, very hospitable. In Hajj, I've seen Maulana do, you know, phenomenal things. And he was a person that never wanted the limelight, never wanted to be in front. In Hajj, he would always push others front and you know, make it such as if they were the ones who had achieved so much. One thing that I must say, whoever's been with Maulana for Hajj, Maulana used to make a dhikr after Fajr, especially when everybody is in Azizia. And it was probably something that was so sweet, the way he made his dhikr, that it sort of etched in everybody's mind, and nobody will ever forget that. So obviously for us, I know for a fact the amount of people whose lives have changed in Hajj because of Maulana's interaction with them in Hajj. And Maulana always say that going for Hajj is one, your accommodation and your transport all is in its place, But he said, if somebody comes back and they are closer to Allah, then our mission of Hajj has been accomplished. And I've seen that. So from my side, all I can say is we just hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants one of the highest abodes of Jannah.
Ameen,
and that
Ameen.
Allah unites us with him. And to me, like you asked, Mana, the thing that stands out is despite Mana's level of piety and seniority and his relationship and ta'aluk with the senior ulama, he came down to the level of people on the ground, children. I mean, I can visualize how he would talk to my children, how he would talk to the young people. That is something that we will really, really miss because it was extremely unique in the life of Mawlana Yahya Sahib.
Mawlana, jazakumullah khairah for your time.
Ameen.
That's one of my childhood friends, Banana Tahir Sallu, with us. We have another call on the line, Hafiz Imran. Hafiz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and to the listeners of Radio Islam.
Hafiz, your interaction with Mawlana Yahya, rahmatullahi alayhi.
Alhamdulillah, you know, we spent many good memories together. We traveled many a years together on Hajj, and Maulana's, you know, his character was indeed very, very outstanding. And for many years that I traveled with him, Maulana's character was outstanding in a way that, you know, people would look up to him, and he was an example such that humility came out of him, and you would be influenced in a very soft way with him. And he never made anybody feel out of place, no matter how they were or how they looked. He always made tarbiyat in such a way that the person felt, you know, to guide their lives in such a way that he influenced them without making them feel small. And they say, you know, generally, the best way to know a person is during travel. And during most of the years that I traveled with Mawlana, you know, Mawlana really had very, very, very soft ways and manners. And he was never, ever harsh to anybody. He had a way of drawing people very close to him. He was sweet with people. When he spoke to anybody, he just sort of was very overwhelming in a good way. And I recall many a times during some heated discussions when Hazrat Mawlana was confronted in a way that was very harsh towards him in discussions, Mawlana never ever retaliated in an insulting way. He was very soft. He kept quiet. And, you know, one would, you know, if you heard the way the discussion was going at times, one would retaliate in such a way that, you know, you just wouldn't keep quiet. And Mawlana just had this very, very good way of coming across without getting controversial and avoided conflict at all times. And this was Mawlana's real good, you know, character that Mawlana had and personality, alhamdulillah.
No, I think that is something that has stood out from this evening's program and really something that would always linger as a legacy of Mawlana.
See, and with it was a piety, you know, just looking at Mawlana, you know, one would feel close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his closeness to Allah as well as, you know, his piety. And this really brought him, you know, to be a good example. You know, and inshallah, Mawlana's legacy will remain on many. His asr must have fell on a lot of people. And the tarbiyat program that he always, you know, used was such a good way that a person wouldn't feel in any way difficult to follow him as well.
Chi. Abizab, jazakallah so much for your time this evening.
My pleasure. Jazakallah khairan.
We've come to the end of part one regarding Mawlana Yahya Bam, and I feel that there's so many things we haven't even touched on, and Mawlana's friends, Mawlana's colleagues, his studies mates, his those that were with him, there are so many that are still left. Inshallah, in the next week, we're going to do that. But in the next week, we're taking calls, we are sharing experiences as well. We wanted to go with the program past 10 o'clock, but we thought instead of doing that and rushing it, let's leave it for next week, inshallah ta'ala, whereby next week we want to take your calls, we want to get your feedback, we want to know your interaction with Marana, as well as some of Marana's colleagues, inshallah. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.